folk. Sure do need him now.
Well,
sure do need him now. Sure do need him now. Oh, if you ever need him, the Lord be folk. Sure do need him now.
You
need him every day and every hour, every hour.
Tonight, and let's have Sister Dana sing tonight. Praise the Lord. Another instrumental from our orchestra tonight, and they've done a fine job last Saturday night. And amen. Hallelujah.
Vanessa and I sang his song earlier.
First of all, I want to say I'm glad that Teresa Faulkner is here with me. She's a co-worker of mine at work. I'm really glad she's here.
He won't give up easy.
forever on is mine. No, he won't give up easy. He just knows the quitting kind. You gave yourself a sin completely. You gave it all you had to give. And now you lie awake and you wonder if all those sins he will forgive.
You can know how long he's watched you, just hoping you would change your mind while you were chasing after rainbows. Waited patiently in line.
And if tonight he's calling, can't you hear him calling?
You turn your back and just walk away.
But just remember while you're running,
he's watching every step you take.
He won't give up easy. Your forever own is mine. No, he won't give up easy. He's just not the quitting kind. Praise God. I'm thankful that's what kind of God we serve tonight. He's just not the quitting kind. When we would quit a lot of times on people and you pray for them and you pray for them, sometimes you think, well, Lord, is it doing any good? Well, you know, Brother Cagle talked about that a little bit last night. I caught the end of it, whether y'all thought I did or not. But so many times we'd give up. But I thank God that he's just not the kind of God that gives up. And Brother Rutledge, I'm going to let you introduce our speaker tonight.
Already he needs no introduction to most of you folks, and we are enjoying the ministry of Brother and Sister Cagle and the children. And I talked to him last night about could the revival continue if we so desired, and he said it was just had one beginning, and the one we started last Wednesday night, so we'll just go till we feel like we're through. May last till Christmas, who knows? But we're announcing it until Wednesday night, and I'd like to see a number of people. We're asking God to give us 100 souls this year, so we just now began. And we are announcing the revival through Wednesday night, and who knows what God might do for us between now and Wednesday night. Again, we're glad for you folks from Scott to be with us, and tell your friends and come back with us if you can Monday or Tuesday night. We'd be glad to have you. And all of you, we welcome you to the house of God. Right now, we bring to you Brother Paul Cagle and his family. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and praise the Lord, everybody. I like what I feel in my soul tonight and in this place, and the Lord is here. Praise his name. We're so thankful for each one of you that have come out on Saturday night. This is hair washing and rolling night and grocery shopping and all other kinds of activities, but you're in the house of the Lord, and I think that's just wonderful. Speaks very highly of your determination and desire to see revival in this place, and we are having revival. God is doing a great work in this place, and we praise the Lord for it. So glad to have my mother and father-in-law's neighbor with us tonight, Mr. Smithy. We appreciate his friendship so very much, and we're so glad that he is in the service with us tonight. John, God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Brother Dykus and the folks from Scott, we didn't realize we had some common bond, but my in-laws always laugh at me because they say you're either related to everybody in Pentecost or you know about everybody in Pentecost. I won't tell you what he really said behind the pulpit. If you want to know, I'll tell you after. But we are so glad to have these folks with us. He knew my grandpa real well in California and our family when he was in Arizona many years ago. And we're just a younger version trying to carry on the good work of the Lord that was started way back about 1916 for our family. And so we are just so glad for every one of you that are here and all the home folks that are here. Nobody sometimes fails to brag on them when they're bragging on the visitors that are here. Yeah. But wouldn't be anybody to worship with the visitors if the home folks had stayed home tonight. So we're glad you're here. And all you Sunday school teachers that were having to prepare for your Sunday school classes and everything. I mean, there's a lot of sacrificing going on. I know this is very difficult sometimes. A Saturday night's usually a rest night for a lot of folks. But I tell you, I'm glad we didn't rest tonight. Amen, because we're having a good time. Sister Kegel and the children come and we'll sing and worship the Lord. We're going to let the Lord have His way.
Praise Brother, coming, I want to know, what is a wimp?
Well, now, I was going to say, I have got to work on my first impressions. Because I'm glad my wife didn't think I was a wimp the first time she met me. She thought I was a big mouth, but she didn't say anything about a wimp. But did you know what? They called George Bush a wimp, and he's president. So I guess it's not so bad anyway. I'm going to have to look it up, though, Brother Riley, to find out exactly what it means.
If there's somebody over here, don't tell me.
Okay, I won't tell you. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Tempe's going to sing for us.
Praise God. God bless you. That's your charge, the first thing. Y'all have an answer. Amen.
Might share the offer with you too if you'll help us sing.
You don't know Sharon there. She gets it. Amen.
Oh, I'm happy to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
It was a wonderful service last night, and I was so excited when I finally got home last night. And I wanted to go in and wake up Mother and Daddy, but I thought, well, I better not. But one of the young ladies that was in the altar last night, I got to talk to her after church, and I knew her family. She's from Star City, and I knew her family, and I couldn't believe that she was here after knowing her family and all that she came from. And I thought, my, God, he was preaching about, you know, believing God, and then seeing her, I thought, boy, God can do anything. Oh, yeah. After you find out. And she said, you know, she wanted more of the Lord. She goes to a church, but she's looking for more. And oh, I thought, you've come to the right place. And I told her so. And the Lord's good.
Yes,
and I'm thankful tonight that I know Him in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't sure whether the meeting was going on or not. I found out when you found out.
That's when I found out.
And We only know about 3 or 4 songs, so we're going to have to get together here and learn some more. We sing the old ones, but I found out the old ones are just about to be new again. Sister Rutledge and I were talking about that the other night. The old ones are just about to be new with some folks. Worship the Lord as we sing this old song. What a day that will be.
Amen.
You. Amen. I'm also an author, and it is the life story of Brother Odell Cagle, my grandpa. And many pictures there of early Pentecostal pioneers, stories that you might find quite interesting if you're at all interested in Pentecostal heritage of the Oneness Movement. And if you're interested in one of those, you can see Sister Cagle after the service tonight. Some of you already have one. Some of you have got them and lost them and want another one. And some of you have loaned them out to folks that backslid and are afraid you're never going to get them back. Well, we've got some with us tonight, and we'll be glad to share those with you. The Curtain of Time, the life story of Brother Odell Cagle, great pioneer that's gone on to be with the Lord now. People's service tonight. I'm glad to be a part of it. Thankful for all the testimonies with. Well, glory. We are thankful for all the special songs that we've heard tonight, all the testimonies, and now we're going to look to the Word of the Lord. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 2. We'll begin reading from verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Brother Rutledge, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of this service?
Lord, we receive your blessings in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We pray your blessings to continue to abide upon this man.
Yes, oh God.
And may souls find you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Two particular words I want you to note in this passage that we read to you tonight. The word heard in verse 1 and the word heard in verse 3. We were going through some old papers when we were moving recently, and I found a report card of mine from when I was in kindergarten. It was quite yellowed, and the dates on it took us back to about 1958 and 59. And in this report card were found some things that were quite humorous to my family. I have a son that is in kindergarten now, and a daughter that is in the fourth grade. And they thought it was real neat for Dad to read his kindergarten report card. On the notes that the comments on the back of the card that the teacher always made about the student in the first quarter said, Paul shows progress of being a good student, but he must learn. There are times for him to talk and times for him to listen. When it came time for the second quarter, she just simply put, still talking. When it came time for the third quarter, she said, doing better, but still talking. And then the fourth quarter, of course, she explained that I would be advanced on to the first level, the first grade. But she said, I must remind you to work diligently with Paul on this problem. The things that he says are quite true and are quite blunt. But truth and bluntness in the future. And then in big letters, capital letters, help him listen. Well, of course, the family let me know that I'm still having trouble 30 years later. They were quite quick to remind me, Daddy, nothing's changed much. You've just grown up. You still don't listen. Then, of course, Sister Cagle threw in her 2 cents worth. Or maybe it was 4, Brother Howard. But did you know I was always taught as a child, do you know why God gave you 1 mouth and 2 ears? So you could listen twice as much as you talked. And so I have trouble with my hearing. No, I don't have a hearing aid. I don't need one. It wouldn't help. Because I just don't hear at all. And hearing aids won't help you when you don't hear at all. But then there are things we do hear. I wonder tonight, when I was reading this passage of Scripture, we need to give an earnest heed to the things we've heard.
Yes.
I've been talking with Brother David Jones concerning Pentecost, and of course, having been raised in it, I thought, wonder what it would be like to come into a Pentecostal service for the very first time. And I can't remember the first service I was in. I can't remember the first message I heard. I can't remember the first gospel song that I heard. But I have often envied individuals that came in for the very first time just to have the feeling of wondering what would it be like just to have never seen it, never experienced it, never heard it before. But the responsibility for those of us now that have heard, and those of us that have been touched by the Spirit of God and by the power of God and have heard the Word of God preached and taught and spoken and have read the Word of God to us, we have a responsibility that we hold fast those things which we have heard, lest at any time we would let them slip and no longer be of any effect in our lives. If you're here tonight, and you have ever opened your Bible and read verses of Scripture, where whether you understood what you were reading or whether you did not have a working knowledge of what you were reading, you need to give an earnest heed to the things that you have read there, because you will be accountable someday for those things that you have read there. If you've been to this service every night this week, God bless you, and God will. But I want to remind you of this one thing. Every service night that the good word of the Lord has gone forth, you are responsible for those words that have been shared with you. Do you understand the responsibility? I remember one time when I was a child, I heard our Sunday school teacher tell the story about about Samuel and how his mother had dedicated him to the Lord and sent him back to the and to minister there with the priest and his family. And I heard that story and I listened very good. And I heard them say that the voice of the Lord, of course, he didn't look accustomed to hearing the voice of the Lord. He was not, he was young, he was inexperienced, and he didn't have a background or a working knowledge of who the Lord was. And so he mistaken the voice to be Eli. Y'all know the story. Well, I heard that story, and so I thought, well, I believe the Lord will call me someday. And I listened for his voice. Every day, I listened for his voice. We never did say anything to him. I was at my grandma and grandpa's house, and I was listening. I was out on the porch playing. They were pastoring in Tulare, California at the time. And grandpa was in the living room sitting in the chair reading the paper. Grandma was out behind this church parsonage. Didn't have a lot of the nice facilities. Well, that was my name. There wasn't anybody else on that block. Nobody else in that church. Nobody else but my daddy, I guess, had ever had that name that I've ever met. And so I ran into the living room, and my granddad was in there, and he was dozing in the chair. And I said, Grandpa, did you call me? He said, no, son. I said, going back outside. So I went back out on the porch and got out there and got to playing, got ruined. And I heard that voice again. This time it was a little bit louder. But it was my name. Paul Ray. And I ran into the living room. I said, Grandpa, I know you called me this time. I heard you call me. He said, I hadn't heard a thing, son, and I haven't called you. I said, well, Grandpa, do you think it might be the Lord? I said, you know, our Sunday school teacher told us the other Sunday that he called Samuel that way one time. And Grandpa said, oh, is that right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, tell me about it. So I told him the story as if he didn't know it. And then he said, well, now, what did Samuel do when the Lord had called him? He said, well, priest told him, said, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go back out there on the porch and play? And if that voice calls your name again, you just look up to the sky and you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. I said, I'll do it. I know the Lord's calling my name. And I'm being a good listener. It hadn't been too long ago that I just got that report card.
And so I got out there on the porch and I got to playing just a little bit. And it wasn't very long until I heard this voice. It seemed like the Lord was a little closer this time than he had been the other two times. And this time he had just a little different ring to it. He said, "Paul Ray." And I looked up to the sky and I said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant here." Yeah. And about that time, from around the corner of the house, came my grandmother, and she had that clothesline hanging all down on her and them clothes on her, and she says, "I'll make you think, Lord, when I get a hold of you." That clothesline had fell, and she was out there trying to hold it up, hold it, all right, all right. And I was on the porch saying, "Speak, Lord! Speak, Lord!" But we need to be listening. We need to be listening. We need to be able to recognize the voice of the Lord. We need to have our ears in tune with His voice, so that when He speaks to us young people, we know who it is. When that phone rings, Chris, and you pick up that phone, and there's a sweet little voice on the other end of the line that says, "Chris." Nobody has to tell you who that is. There's no... At any time we become distracted or turned aside by listening to other voices.
Amen.
There's a lot of voices out there that call. And there's a lot of distractions out there that would try to turn you aside a different direction. And those individuals have got a mind to try to divert your attention in another relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you have become accustomed to listening to Him, somehow I remember the story about Mary being in the garden with Jesus, stepped into the garden, and when she began to converse with Him, she said, He said, "Why do you weep?" She said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken Him. If you buried His body someplace, if you bore it off someplace, would you just tell me where we've taken Him so we could bury Him?" And the Scripture said, Jesus just said one word. It was her name, Brother Rutledge. Mary. He said, "Mary."
Mary. Hallelujah.
And you know what? She recognized who He was when He spoke her name. She was personally acquainted with Him, and her eyes were open to see who He was. Another incident was when the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and there came a stranger to walk with them. They didn't recognize who He was. They didn't realize who He was, and He asked them why they were weeping. Around here that you don't know the events that's taking place, and mocking, the scourging, and the crucifixion, and then the Lord being to share the prophecies concerning Himself with them. And when they invited Him to come into the house, they still didn't know who He was until they sat down at the table with Him. And then when He began to bless that bread that they were about to partake of, suddenly it dawned on them who He was. They recognized that prayer that He prayed over that food that evening. And maybe it took them back to another time out on a hillside when He began to bless that bread and multiply those loaves and those fishes. And He was received up into the out of their sight, just vanished from their sight.
Praise God.
Up into the heavens.
Amen.
But they recognized because they were listening.
Praise God.
Because they were listening. There's a lot of good, honest-hearted, and well-meaning people that want to do right and want to live right and want to be right. But they're listening to the wrong voice. They are being led astray and they are being shown a wrong direction. They're not accustomed to listening to the voice of the Lord. And because of their inexperience and because of their ignorance, they are being led into false doctrines and being led into all kinds of cults and diverse things that have got their minds so confused that they don't realize what they've gotten into until it's too late.
Amen.
But I believe that the more we become personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the closer we walk with Him, and the more we get into His Word and begin to study and read those things that we see there and put them into practice in our own lives, the more that we hit that prayer room or find that place of prayer in our own private devotions and talk to Him, I believe that He will take and give us such a relationship with Him that we will be able to recognize His voice, and we'll never have to worry about being led astray, because we will know the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. When I first started preaching, I was very unaccustomed to being led in the Spirit to do anything. I was so afraid I'd be in the flesh and that I would be out of order. I always had somebody there to keep me in line, so I didn't have to worry too much about being out of order, but I was still worried about the flesh. I remember one time when we were coming back, we were living in California at the time. That's where I was born and raised until my latter teen years. My grandpa was coming back into this Midwest and southern part of the United States to preach some meetings, and he wanted to take me along. I just started preaching. I had been successful in a revival that I told you about the other night, and he was going to give me a little exposure, so he took me along. Waited for a few weeks before I could get my driver's license, and we started out in an evangelistic work together. And I was the secretary of the bunch. I took care of the offering. And I mapped out all the different preaching places. We were just a night here and a night there, you know, a night someplace else. We just, he called them love them and leave them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, go in, have a good meeting, and then take off and go someplace else. And so anyway, you'd have to know Grandpa Cagle to appreciate that. But anyway, we just went in for a night or two, and just about when everything gets going good, he'd say, well, we're leaving tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And if they got up and announced, you know, this meeting's going to go on, he'd have got up and said, well, I'm sorry, you can go on if you want to, but I'm going to Texas tomorrow. And, you know, that was just the way he was. But anyway, we had this all mapped out, had our schedule all mapped out, and we were sitting in a motel room one night, and I said, well, now, you know, we're supposed to be down in Houston, and I told him we were going down there, and Brother Kilgore had invited him to preach. I said, we're supposed to be down at Houston in about 3 days, and at this time, we were up in southeast Missouri. And I said, well, you know, I've got the atlas out here, and I've got this road all charted and mapped, and it looks to me like we're going to get to Houston just in time. And then I told him how we're going. He says, we're going to Alabama. I said, you can't go to Houston by way of Alabama and get there in 3 days. He said, but you don't understand. I was praying this morning before you ever got out of bed.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me to go to Alabama. And I said, now, Grandpa, are you sure it was the Lord? See, he was born and raised in Alabama, and he kind of always, every once in a while, he'd get a hankering to go down there. And sometimes it was the Lord, and sometimes it was Cagle. And I was just trying to discern the spirits here. But then when I got to talking to him, I found out he was very sincere and earnest. He said, I was praying this morning, and he said, while I was praying, the word of the Lord came to me and told me, go to Alabama and pray for Walter Henson. Now, I told you I've got a lot of cousins. Well, all them Hensons are my cousins. Floyd Henson and Robert Henson and all them Hensons are cousins of mine. They pastor all in the northern part of the United States. But Walter is the granddaddy of all of them. And him and my grandpa got the Holy Ghost in the same meeting. And he was elderly. And he was in Florence, Alabama. I said, well, Grandpa, I don't know if we can get there or not. But if you say, if we're going to Alabama, we'll go to Alabama. And then all that day long, I thought, how will we ever get to Houston? I'm going to have to call out there, tell them we're going to be late. And I don't know what we're going to do. But all this time, he said, the Lord. And then he gave me a lesson I'll never forget. He said, you see, you have your plans. And I've got my plan. I think I know what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. You think you know what you're supposed to do tomorrow. But God has a plan that is sovereign.
Thank you, Lord.
And it won't necessarily be what we have scheduled.
Amen.
And so in order for us to do the will of God, we're going to have to get in tune with the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, and see what the Lord would have us. What are His plans for tomorrow? He said, if you'll remember that, and if you'll live by that, you'll never have to worry about being in the will of God.
Hallelujah.
In this text that we read to you tonight, it said, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us. It was confirmed unto us by who? It was confirmed unto us by those that heard Him. Those disciples, those apostles that listened to the word of the Lord, that listened to the teachings of the Lord. These great precious truths were confirmed unto us. Somebody said, you folks is off out into a false doctrine. No, we are following what was confirmed unto us by those that heard the voice of the Lord. They heard the Lord speak, and they were acting and teaching on those things that they had heard.
Amen.
We got in that little blue and white 62 Chevy Nova, and started making our way down, winding our way down through the hills of Alabama, trying to get down there to pray for a cousin of all things, going to pray for a cousin, when we were supposed to be going to one of the biggest churches in Pentecost at that time. And I was so excited about going there, and I wouldn't the least bit interested in going to see some cousin in Alabama. When we got there to that house, it was silent. And I thought, well, now this is great. The Lord told us to come here. Now nobody's home. We're off down here now. There's no need fretting. We're in Alabama. We never called. Never said we're on our way. Never said when to expect us. You know, He was just the kindest one. Just hear the doorbell ring, step up there to answer the door, and there He stood.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Yeah, that's just what it'd be like. And His wife came to the door. And she said, well, Odell, how are you doing? Come on in. Brought him on in the house. And he said, well, I just want to tell you that we were up preaching in southeast Missouri. And the Lord told me to come down here and pray for Walter. She started weeping, crying. I thought, oh, no, we're too late. She said, the doctor just left here and told us he won't live through the day. He's laying back here in the back room. He's eaten up with cancer. And the doctors say he won't live through the day. And my grandpa looked over at me and said, don't worry about it. We're listening to the voice of the Lord. The Lord told us to come to pray for him, and that's what we're going to do. He said, where's he at? And led us right back there to the room where... And here I was hot on his heels, because I tell you, since we're not going to get to Houston anyway, let's just go ahead and see what God is going to do. Because you see, if you're listening to the Lord, if you've got your ear in tune with Him, if you're giving an earnest heed tonight to the things that you've been hearing, you don't have to be afraid to step out by faith and to obey what God says to do. We made our way back there to the, and that, here this fellow lay, big guy laying in this bed, and just pale as it could be, just as cold, and lips blue, and in a semi-conscious state, and just barely breathing. My grandpa walked over to the bed and just put his hand on his shoulder and said, Walter, the Lord has sent me here to pray for you.
Hallelujah.
And God is going to raise you up.
Yes.
Just the voice of authority.
Right. Hallelujah.
And I thought, this ought to be good. And so he told me, he said, you ready to pray? I said, yes, sir. He said, I said, are you ready to pray? I said, well, let me check. I said, oh, Jesus, if there's any sin in my life, take it out right now. Oh, God, give me the faith to believe now. Here, Lord, here we go. And he just walked over to him. Not a whole lot of to-do. Not a whole lot of fancy work. Not a whole lot of trickery or Hollywood theatrics. Just walked up to him and took him by the hand and said, "Walter, in the name of Jesus, rise." And that man opened up his eyes and blinked. And he said, "I said rise." He started doing his head like this. He said, "I said rise in the name of Jesus."
Started moving his shoulders. Shaking his arms.
Still laying down. He said, "Rise up in the name of Jesus." About the third time. And he started doing his legs like this in the bed. He had been in a coma state for 2 or 3 days, semi-conscious. The doctors had been there that morning, had given up hope, and they had given him up. And the undertaker, you know, was kind of waiting around very patiently for what he thought his turn might be. But while, and there stands Grandpa snatching his customer right out from under his nose by saying, "Rise in the name of Jesus." Rise up in the name of Jesus. Took him by the hand after he'd worked his legs a little bit, worked his arms a little bit. Took him by the hand and said, "Stand on your feet." And he did.
Hallelujah.
Stood right up. Jammers and all. And about this time, I took off shouting.
Amen.
I got shouting over there in the living room. And I told his wife, I said, "Is something on fire?" She said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "Where's all this smoke coming from?" I said, "I don't know. Let's go check." We went to the kitchen. We went into the other rooms. We could, but there was just like a blue haze. The glory of God that had settled down over that place. Well, when we got back into the bedroom, Grandpa had his arms up underneath Walter. Walter was about 6 foot tall. Grandpa was about 5 foot 6. And he was back behind like this saying, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name."
Hallelujah.
Did you know God touched him, healed his body of cancer? The doctors had given him up, but he went back to the doctor. The doctor came out to the house first, and then he went back to the doctor, and the doctor told him, "You don't have cancer." And he was able to get back up in the pulpit and preach. He has since passed away, but when he passed away, the autopsy showed he died of a heart ailment. There was still no cancer. But do you know what he told us? He said, "I was almost ready to pass." He said, "I was right at the brink of that river." And he said, "They were coming to get me." And he said, "On the other side, there was bright lights and music." You've heard him say all those things. But he said, "I looked back over my shoulder," because he said, "Here was a little blue and white car." He hadn't even looked out in the driveway. He didn't know what we were driving. He said, "But here was a little blue and white car that was winding its way down through the hills. And it, something was saying, 'I say unto thee, arise. I say unto thee, arise. I say unto thee, arise.'" Are you listening to the voice of the Lord tonight? Are you listening to the voice of the Lord tonight? We need to give an earnest heed to the voice of the Lord. Let's love Him together right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My friend, if you can get your ear in tune with the Spirit, God will tell you. God will tell you. God will speak to you. But you see, we're so accustomed to listening to other things. We've got our ears so tuned into other things that we don't understand, we don't recognize. We're not acquainted with the voice of the Lord when He speaks to us. There was a good man one time, a good religious man one time, that thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing God a real favor by going around and arresting all of these Pentecostals that were preaching and teaching in Jesus' name, and baptizing people in Jesus' name, and trying to break up their meetings. He was a devout man. He was a highly religious individual. Sometimes we try to make out like Paul or like Saul was a mean individual or an evil individual. He was highly educated in the religious sect of that day. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, if I'm not mistaken. He called himself that even at one time. My friend, one day, while he even carried papers in his pocket that said, "You're supposed to go down to Damascus and arrest that band that call themselves Christians down there, and those ones that are following after this false teaching and doctrine." While he was on his way, the Bible says that even as he journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly there shined out about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul had his ears open that day, my friend. And as that light shone down of heaven on him, his ears were listening to the voice of the Lord that spoke to him, the voice even of the Lord that said, "It is Jesus whom thou persecutest." The very one that you're persecuting is talking to you.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. And he said, What would thou have me do, Lord?" And you know what he told him? "You go down here, and there'll be a preacher to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You listen to what he says. There'll be a preacher that'll tell you what to do. A good, honest, devout, religious individual that got his instruction and got his help and got the answer that he needed on his life and for his life by listening to the voice of the Lord." Then when I turned my Bible over to the next page, I found another man by the name of Cornelius, who was a centurion in a band of an Italian band. And when it says he was a devout man, and it said that he was one that feared God, and it said that he gave his alms and offerings, and that he prayed to God always. But there was a voice that came to him one day when he saw a vision about the ninth hour, and it said, "Cornelius." And he said, "What is it, Lord?" And that voice said, "I've heard thy prayers and thy alms. I've seen them, and they've come up as a memorial before God." And now you go down to Joppa and call for one Simon Peter that's residing at the house of Simon the Tanner, and he's going to tell you what you need to do to walk fully into all this glorious truth that you have, my friend. And I want you to know, if you're here tonight, I would invite you to tune your ear into the Spirit of the Lord and let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart tonight. He's calling here tonight, and He wants to say to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Hallelujah. He wants you to know that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He wants you to know that He has the answer to every problem and the solution to every situation that your life has come into. And you can do as we have instructed here tonight. Just tune your ears in and give an earnest heed and listen to those things that you have heard and those things that you have read and those things that the Spirit of the Lord has quickened to your heart. As those individuals said last night, and I thought it was so beautiful. Oh, they were hungry. They came to the altar and prayed for a while. They were so hungry. And it excited me, Brother Rutledge, because my Bible says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you're here tonight and you're hungry for more of the Lord, and you're hungry to know the Lord in a greater fullness than you already have experienced, if you want to have the joy of the Lord be your strength, whatever your difficulty or problem may be,
All it takes is that little bit of hunger. And Jesus is here to satisfy. Hallelujah. Am I right, Sister Donna? Amen. All it takes is a little bit of hunger and a desire. She's been faithful in this altar every night to seek the Lord. Last night we tried to encourage her a little bit to let her know she might get it in the water. I wasn't sure, but that was the way I got it. I told you I heard the voice of the Lord call my name when I was a child, or so I thought. But it was Granny. But it wasn't very much longer after that that I was at a camp meeting in Fraser Park. Brother Dykus, maybe you got to go to Fraser Park sometime, the camp meeting. Out there on the hills. And they'd built a little lean-to brush arbor on the back half of the cook shack. And they'd put little pine plank boards out there and made a little altar and little benches for the kids to sit on. They strawed sawdust out there just like the big tabernacle had. And we had our little camp meeting while the big folks was having their big camp meeting. And I'll never forget it because the evangelist had preached a message and his wife was playing the accordion. And they were singing, "Into My Heart, Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus." Oh, and I thought that was the most beautiful song that I ever heard. And I felt something tugging at my heart. I didn't hear him call my name like I thought I would. But down in my heart, I knew that was Jesus calling me. And I walked down that aisle, knelt down in that sawdust, and repented of my sins. No, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost right then. That was my very first experience of hearing the voice of the Lord speak to my heart. And His Spirit drawing me to Him. That was in the summer of 1959, friend, and I've never been sorry till this day. 30 years later. Never been sorry to this day. That I, even as a small child, walked down that aisle in response to hearing Jesus call my name. I trust you. And helping you to understand and realize that every word is important. And I'll never forget when the preacher used to say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." When I look out over this congregation, I see lots of ears. I see big ones. I see little ones. I see some that are laying back, and I see some that are standing out. And then some of you might be like me. I've got one that's higher than the other one. All shapes and all sizes. But it doesn't make any difference as long as they're tuned in. Tuned in to the Spirit of God. I've often told my mother the reason this ear is higher than the other one was because that was the side she sat on in church. But the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight. I feel Him. Shall we stand?
He's called today.
He's calling today.
He's calling.
Jesus is
calling.
He's tenderly calling today.
He's calling.
Won't you come while He's calling?
He's calling today.
Won't you come tonight and find Him?
He's here. Calling,
and He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants
today.
To fill you with the Holy Ghost. Can you hear Him calling your name? Nobody can call your name like Jesus calls your name.
He's calling. He's tenderly calling today.
Are there others that will come? Can you hear Him calling you tonight? Are there those that want to be more sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord? As the illustration I gave concerning our cousin being healed, that came from an individual that was listening. That came from an individual that was in tune with the Spirit. Would you like to have that type of relationship with the Lord, young people? Then come on down here and talk to Jesus about it. Tell Him, "Draw me closer, Lord. Help me be in tune with Your Spirit. Help me to listen to Your call. Help me to be responsive and receptive to Your Word when it comes." Oh,
God. Help me listen intently, Lord, to your Spirit as it leads and guides and as it instructs us. Let's sing it again.
Oh, Jesus is calling.
Sure, somebody else wants to seek God. Somebody else. Anybody. You want to give your heart to God and repent of
yes,
you want to come here speaking with the Holy
calling.
Ghost?
He's
come
calling.
On, let God have his
he's
way in your heart
calling today.
He's calling. Every
calling.
Unbelieving person
he's
comes. This morning is deliverance. He needs help.
Today.
Let's pray with him tonight. Maybe someone
Jesus,
else will join us around the altar.
He's calling.
You that are visiting,
he's
we are
calling.
Glad you're with us.